He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the October 30th pre-Halloween edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a good start to the market. It doesn't quite look as good underneath the surface, just in my early exploration through the market. But on the surface, it looks pretty good. The Dow is up 271. At 32,689, there's really not any one stock leading it, so it's a pretty good advance there. That makes the Dow up it's up 84 basis points right now after really reeling last week. S&P 500 up 35 today. That's 86 basis points. It's at 4,152. The NASDAQ, big tech looks pretty good today. It's up 1.25%, the NASDAQ, at 157.62. The Russell 2K is up 90 basis points right now. Crude oil is down $1.42 to $84.12 right now. The fear gauge is pretty high right now. How do I know? I look at gold. Gold is at $2,008 per ounce. We haven't seen that level in quite some time. It is up $10 per ounce today, and silver's up 3%, up 68 cents to $23.57. And the 10-year's up 4 basis points to 4.89% today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst.
Yeah, and, big week coming.
Well, yes, a big week coming up. And I want to just go back to where we finished on Friday. Man, I tell you, it was a nervous market last week. There were some big down days. From a technical point of view, we are really testing the support levels, the limits. The Dow has even gotten really close to a death cross, a moving average crossover of the 50 and 200-day moving averages. Hasn't occurred, but a very close, which is kind of a surprising development. The Dow's now down for the year. Now, maybe with today's action, it's up just a little bit. But a lot of nervousness in the market now.
Yeah, as no one wanted to go in, didn't seem like anyone wanted to go in the weekend holding anything.
No,
right? And you saw it in gold, like you said.
Yes,
above that 2,000 level, it's odd, isn't it? Where we thought the last year or two, right? Especially some of the inflation numbers, you would have expected gold to do better, and then of course quote unquote inflation gets under control. Gold is hitting that 2,000 mark and beyond, and like you said, based off fear.
Yes, and that's that's the conclusion I came to on Friday. I said to myself Saturday morning, I said, the earnings picture looks good. In fact, we're beating overall the S&P 500 as a unit is beating the estimates, and the guidance is going up. So it looks like we're halfway through now. And we're in pretty good shape with earnings. The interest rate picture has moderated. We're settling in about 4.85, somewhere in that area right now. We're not getting that explosion of interest rates to the upside. I mean, the numbers coming in on the economy, I don't think you can argue that there's weakness with the consumer. There's not weakness in the labor markets. There seems to be no recession in sight. So why then, is the market testing those bottom edges of support levels and looking really downright nasty on Friday? Well, I have to come to the conclusion that it's geopolitics.
Yeah, and interest rates. I mean, the 10-year Treasury, you've mentioned it plenty of times. It's just it's stubbornly staying around that, 4.9-ish,
yes,
pushing potentially 5 range.
And, this Wednesday, it's going to get a big test, because not only do we get the Fed decision, but every quarter they announce their funding needs and their treasury issuance. Did you see that? That's going to be very big.
Yeah, we'll get that report. That's going to, that's probably one of the probably more important reports. It's going to tell us what the future supply, right, is likely to be from terms of treasury issuance coming, this coming month. And if you remember, or this coming quarter, and if you remember when Janet Yellen, mentioned about the, funding and need of funding, the government, I think it's about mid-June towards late July, towards the end of June, that's when rates began to start ticking up.
And that's when the market peaked, right, at the same exact time. And so if she announces another big, more than expected, we don't expect them to raise interest rates. That's just kind of off the table right now.
And that'll be the Fed, going simultaneously.
But it's going to be those needs that the government has right now, make up for the deficits that they are running, the big deficits that they are running. So we'll be watching that on Wednesday. Right now, the bond market's a little bit nervous. I think the market is snapping back. Usually when you get to a condition like this where the fundamentals look good but the technicals really look rotten on Friday, you either get a snapback from oversold conditions like a rubber band that's been stretched too far, or you get a breakdown. And so I'll be watching that very closely. You can't really judge by one day today. We're getting a snap back. But it's going to be the rest of this week, which is we're really at a critical juncture from a technical point of view in the market. The earnings picture, like I say, however, still looks good. And it will focus on earnings unless the market's right about the geopolitics, which it's very worried about right now, that I suppose expanding beyond just Israel. Okay, so let's take a look. We ended the day on Friday in very weak position. The chart of the Dow was just awful, and then individual charts like Ford and a whole slew of stocks, they just looked horrible. On the upside, Amazon had a good report last week. Amazon is having another good day today, but there were a lot of really bad-looking charts last week, which I pointed out in my newsletter over the weekend. And on Friday, the Dow was down 367 points. The Dow, of all the indexes, looks the worst. The S&P, second worst. And then the NASDAQ. The Dow is now negative to maybe up just a little bit so far this year. The S&P, which was up at about 20% at one time, is now just up 7%. So I would just say it's a fear that has gripped the market for now, despite good earnings. And if there is a company that misses by a little bit, like Alphabet last week or Meta, you see an accentuated sell-off because of the fear that's in the market. Now, the other good news, we had a pretty good inflation number. That's the other thing. You've got earnings good, the bond market settling down, but we'll see about Wednesday. And you've got the inflation numbers coming in pretty favorable.
Friday with the PCE index coming in pretty much as expected. And there was even the core, I think the core even came in a little better than expected. Yeah, it was kind of from that standpoint, there's been nothing to no surprises.
No,
right? What you don't want is some massive number to swing the market, swing yields even higher.
Yes, so
we haven't
now
seen it. So.
No, we are now in correction territory, which is 10% or more in the major indexes. SARC is down a third now since July, ARC, not SARC. SARC is up a third.
Yeah, it'd be the other way.
ARC is down 32%, so that just tells you that a lot of it's ARC is greatly influenced by two things, the sentiment. If there's any fear at all, those are the first stocks that get dumped. And, of course, the interest rate picture, because for the most part, those are high P.E. stocks. Okay, and I think this theory that I have, I think it's being proved out by the move in gold today, as it's at 2008, as Israel expands its Gaza activity, especially on the ground. And, of course, the fear is, I think, too, that situation up in the north with Hezbollah, which has a lot more missiles than Hamas and a lot more accurate missiles than Hamas. So it's got the world on edge right now. There's no question about it. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about this refunding this Wednesday that will be announced for the Federal Reserve, because it's going to set the tone for the bond market for the rest of the year. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. You know, we've gotten to the point with the national debt, not that it was good before, but where it too seemingly is at a breaking point. Now, I'm just looking at a chart here. Okay, this is right from Trading Economics, so it's the actual numbers of the national debt. Over the years, when Trump came in, we were at $19 trillion, okay, underwater. When Trump left in 2020, we were at $23 trillion. So he added $4 trillion. You divide that into 19, and you got about a 17-18% increase. And of course, COVID was part of that extra spending.
Right.
However, now, since Biden has come in, he came in with a $23 trillion, which is where Trump left, and now it's $33 trillion. He has added $10 trillion to the national debt.
Yeah, 10 almost, divided. Almost 50%, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, 40 to 45%. Yeah. And it's just like, well, this is the new economics, they call it.
Math has a way of catching up with you at some point.
Big time, and it already is. And that's why on Wednesday, we're going to get the FOMC announcement on interest rates. But more importantly, we're going to get the refunding announcement to satisfy the federal government's borrowing needs. More borrowing. It's endless. The U.S. Treasury sells many types of bonds, from the 2-year on up to the 30-year. And every quarter, the Treasury details its menu of debt that it plans to issue. Now, I got to be honest, in the past, we didn't really ever watch that indicator or watch that number. But
when it
now,
was pretty stable. It was a pretty stable number also. Yeah.
But now it has just exploded to the upside exponentially. It's known as the quarterly refunding statement, and investors have recently taken a renewed interest in the announcement, given the volatility in the Treasury market and what it means for other sectors of investment and the broader economy. And here's the deal. Why are interest rates at 4.85 or 4.87 today? Heavy borrowing by the Treasury, which we've been pointing the finger. It's not China. It's not Japan dumping U.S. bonds. Yeah, it's supply coming to the market and us lowering our balance sheet, right? Selling off some bonds.
And the U.S. has benefited from a natural sponge, right, that has soaked up this, issuance, right, over the years, and in some ways helpful, right, to other, to institutions, particularly pension funds and things of that nature that have fixed, fixed go-forward expenses. But, I mean, you know, when you, it's just the analogy of, you know, spilling a pitcher of water, right? It takes a while for that sponge, right, to soak up all that liquidity. And that's really where you're at. And we'll find out how much more spillage there's going to be.
Let's hope the sponge has soaked up all the liquidity, because another spill is going to be, outlined for us on Wednesday of how much they're going to need. I mean, it's just incredible. So that is probably the biggest factor behind this. Now, the Fed has not hiked interest rates. It's this borrowing that has hiked interest rates. It's this supply coming to the market. So this is going to be a really important number on Wednesday.
And the Japanese who are, you know, who are a big buyer of treasuries, they announce, I think it's the day before, some of their yield curve controls, right? So they could actually, end up, by what their decision is, could affect, right, the overall yield of future treasury issues.
And the sponge has kind of changed here recently. Treasuries, which are considered one of the safest plays on the planet, not so much anymore, I don't think, but the auctions have become increasingly reliant on hedge funds, pension funds, and mutual funds to scoop up large quantities of bond. I mean, when do they get to the point where no mas, we can't absorb anymore? As foreign governments and U.S. banks reduce their purchases, including the Federal Reserve. So unless you have that supply and demand in alignment with one another, once those pension funds and hedge funds get saturated and can't absorb any more of these bonds, then what happens? Well, interest rates go much higher. It's at a breaking point. It really is. And not to mention, you're now paying interest on $10 trillion more, over the last 3.5 years or 3 years than you were before. So now that interest in our national, just the annual budget, is now $1 trillion a year that we have to borrow just to pay the interest. Okay, Germany's economy contracts by 0.3%. Continued weakness in Europe. I showed the chart of the Europe indexes over the weekend. You know what? The most important section of the newsletter on Friday was the technical analysis.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite sections.
That was the one that gave me heartburn on Friday in how much technically things have deteriorated. From a macro point of view, earnings and the economy, but the technicals are breaking down. And a lot of times, that's an indication of trouble that maybe we're not seeing, or it could just be a sudden fear that has gripped the market. But I think this $33-34 trillion is finally becoming a major factor. You know, we hear from Treasury Janet Yellen like there's no limit to it. You know, there's just, you can rack up $100 trillion. Who cares? It's just printed money. But no. When you can't absorb it anymore, when that sponge is saturated, the flood continues to grow. And so I'm just putting out a warning there on these interest rates. And, of course, it trickles through the entire economy. Who can buy a home at 8%? Who can buy a new car at 12, 13, 14%, whatever the case may be? Who can charge on their credit card as things continue to go hard? It's starting to become a very big factor. Where it has not been in the past. There's always been plenty of demand for U.S. treasuries in the past because, like I say, it's considered the safest bet in the world. But now the supply is so great. When will the demand not be there? Well, let's look at earnings. We have McDonald's. We'll get to them here in a bit. They reported today. This is the calendar for this week. Pfizer will report tomorrow. Pfizer's been just a, since they had their one-hit wonder there with the COVID vaccine. McDonald's reported Wednesday. We get CVS. I know we get AMD tomorrow. Apple on Thursday. So we're not out of the woods yet with these earnings. But halfway through earnings season. The corporation CEOs are doing just fine. It's the government that can't seem to get anything under control right now. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, my cursory trip through the market here this morning, I looked at some of the, stocks that are indicative of the overall health of the market. I said, you know, it doesn't look as good underneath as it does on the surface. And the market has given back quite a bit of its gains from the open. The small caps are only up 5 points now, the Russell 2000. The Nasdaq's up 82, it was up over 100, and the Dow's up 251. S&P's up just 21 points right now. So, like I say, you know, we ended Friday on a very precarious note from a technical point of view. Technicals are an indicator of sentiment, fear, greed, or somewhere in the between on that scale. And I would say on Friday we closed at the, not pegged, but very far to the fear side of the scale. Like, market really scared. It wasn't because of fundamentals. It wasn't because of earnings coming in. It's not because of layoffs. It's not because of the economy. It's fear. And it has to be that geopolitical number one. And I would say the number two factor is fear of not so much the Fed. I don't think they're going to hike rates, but fear of the bond market. And can it absorb what they're going to announce on Wednesday? Right now we have the 10-year up 5 basis points to 4.9, okay? I think the market is also afraid that she's going to shock the market again with, this issuance of bonds, in other words, to fund their spending spree, that's killing the interest rate.
Well, and killing PE ratios, and as we've seen, where the correlation currently is, I think, around 70% of the equity return, right, can be explained via interest rates. So.
Yep.
Which is one of the highest, I think, historically for a long time. But,
and it could go higher, easily. If they come in with another shock on Wednesday of how much they've got to borrow. Well, anyways, Mike Wilson, our friend at Morgan Stanley. But, I'm pretty much with him on this one.
Yeah.
He's using 17 times multiple. I'm at 17.5. Okay, so we're very close there. And he's at $230 in earnings for this year, which is where I'm at. So by the end of the year, but problem is the market usually trades ahead of that. The market's usually trading at least 6 months ahead. He sees a S&P 3,900 by the end of the year using 230 in earnings and 17 multiple. But, the market's looking ahead to next year's earnings and a 17 multiple, which is more in the 4,200-4,300 range. And I think the multiple, if we don't get a shock on Wednesday, if we get a shock on Wednesday, you're looking at 17, 16.5 multiple, which that has a massive effect on target prices for the market. Just going from 18 to 17.5, that's a couple hundred points on the S&P 500. At the kind of earnings that we have these days.
Right.
And you go down to 17 and 16.5, then you're at a target price around 4,000 or under 4,000. So we'll see. I think Wednesday's going to be a very big day for the markets. It's going to be how bonds react and how interest rates react. Well, Intel had a huge report. That was a good sign, and that hopefully bodes well. I did send out a little message to our subscribers and clients that get our live alerts. AMD stock is in a precarious position from a technical point of view. There's some fear there. There obviously definitely is some fear there. But they report tomorrow, okay? That's going to tell me a lot about the current state of AMD. The chart is not very good. But we did have a really good report from Intel on Friday. Hopefully that will spill over. That's an indication of that PC market being better than expected. And hopefully AMD will get a good report. If it's not a good report, like I say, that's not a good chart right now on AMD. Things going well at Toyota. Record sales, record production in September. I got to believe that the UAW strike had a lot to do with that. People turning to Toyota instead, because I can't imagine the inventory's that great out there. But apparently that UAW strike is coming to a close, it sounds like, that they finally have a deal. But look at Ford's earnings on Friday. And the stock just got, I mean, it was down 9-10%. That's one of the ugliest charts in the entire market. And guess what? It's down another 2% today. Ford is under $10 again.
Well, it's a tough business.
Tough business, and then, you know, to promise all these workers, I mean, I don't think they had that much leverage right now because of the condition of interest rates and the competition out there in the automobile market. Ford is $9.76 here. That would not be a stock that I would have any interest in whatsoever, or GM or Stellantis. But of note, Toyota Motors reports record sales. Okay, Realty Income. There is a deal in the REIT market. You're probably going to see some consolidation there because you've got some REITs that are reeling right now. You've got Realty Income. That is probably the most popular stock.
That's O. O, correct?
Symbol is O. They're stepping up to the plate and buying Spirit Realty, which is single-tenant real estate. So that's better. I mean, one building, you know, it's not these office buildings, these massive office buildings downtown with a lot of tenants in them. Spirit is up 7.7. I got to believe O is down. O is down 6.2. Ouch. You know what? That's one of the ugliest charts, too, in the market. Here's your most popular stock, one of them, on Seeking Alpha.
From a yield standpoint, right? Yeah.
And, you know, there's
a dividend payer.
There's one guy. That's about the only stock he writes about. Every week he writes an article on Realty Income. And it's, oh, me, oh, my, what a buy. I can sleep well at night. You know, well, okay. I'm glad you can sleep well at night. It's getting crushed today. It's down another $6.23. So much for that yield. You know, the yield is 6.6, but the stock's down 6.6 today. So that's a poor place to be positioned in real estate. And to think that that's a sector that you can sleep well with at night, I totally disagree. It was down in the 08-09 sell-off where the SP went down 50%. The REITs were down 75%. Okay, let's see what else. We're looking for some good news here. Well, the good news is the earnings season. When we began this quarter, we were looking for a 2% drop versus the same quarter last year. And now, halfway into it, we're looking for a 2.5% gain on earnings versus the same quarter, third quarter last year. I've seen really no change in next year's earnings estimates, which remain at about $250 per share versus $230 this year. And 2025, we're getting a better look all the time as these companies report. And I haven't seen any change yet to those expectations. Where we're seeing the changes in the multiple that's being applied. Don't forget, during coming out of COVID, we were flying high at a 22 multiple a 22 multiple. I knew that wasn't sustainable. And that's when the Fed started cracking down with the interest rates. They brought the multiple all the way down to 15, which was overkill. That was towards the end of last year. In October of last year, that's when we started getting very interested in the market. And then we started this year with a 17 multiple. And that's where we are right now. We're at a 17 multiple on the S&P 500. And the earnings picture has not changed. Just the multiple. Okay, McDonald's came in. They did beat earnings by a little bit. McDonald's is up 1.2% today. SoFi, which has their name on the brand-new stadium in L.A., SoFi's up 1.7%. That's a very high-risk stock. They're a lender. They are really extended as a company. And then the XPO, which is a trucking stock, not that important, they reported it's up 12.2%. That's good to see because it is a bellwether, the trucking stocks. How much in the way of goods are they moving? That's very important, and they're moving more than expected. So we've got a mixed market, a mixed bag right now. I think Wednesday is going to be a very key day here in the market. Well, we'll look underneath the surface when we come back, and I'll tell you what I see. But I must do the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in a right place. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have a mixed market, and it definitely has deteriorated underneath the surface of the market since the beginning of the week. It didn't look that great underneath the surface when we opened, and it's deteriorated since then, although the indexes still look fairly healthy. I just don't like what I see underneath the surface. If you look at
crude oil, I tell you the interesting number is crude oil today, down 2.7%, which in my opinion would be more of a supply and demand story potentially than it is a than a fear premium standpoint.
Yeah.
So
that's coming back to where they think the economy's at now.
Right.
The oil.
Yeah.
And of course, you did have Germany actually have a negative GDP number. S&P 500, here's your winners. Just a couple, really. Western Digital up 7.2. Lumen up 6.0. AbbVie up 3.6. And Adobe up 3.0. So kind of a mixed bag there. Verizon up 2.6. Nike up 2.5. GE up 2.2. On the downside, the biggest loser in the S&P 500 is Realty Income. That's a horrible chart on Realty Income. That's a new 52-week low. This was a $79 stock in 2020. Now it's a $46 stock. That's a that's about a 35% loss in the stock since 2020. So that's all I can say is it's the most written about stock in Seeking Alpha. I'm just going to guess that because, when I see these articles every day, that's always a couple articles about Realty. I knew Realty Income 15 years ago.
Yeah, I did. We had a private REIT that actually got purchased by Realty Income years and years ago. I remember when they combined. I'm trying to think what the other name of the other company was, but they essentially combined like in early, I guess maybe 2012-ish or so. And
yeah.
That's when they became under just, I can't remember the other company.
Well, I'm going to go back to the early 2000s when it went public. And they came around their dog and pony show. I saw them, and then they visit our office like every few months they would come by because they were a San Diego company. They were actually an Escondido company in the early days, and they became a San Diego company. They still are. I remember when they went into the S&P 500, and it was a great stock for many years. I mean, it finally peaked in 2019 at $80 per share because people like the reliable monthly income. They pay monthly income. But, you know, they got slammed. They got absolutely slammed during COVID. Because nobody's going to work anymore. And if you own a bunch of buildings, that's a problem. And they have a lot of retail chain operators. They're very well diversified in 50 states. But the entire real estate sector is under siege. And so now here they are clear back to $45.90 per share on 8 times normal volume. They do not like this purchase that they're making today of Spirit Realty. The other loser is another one that I used to follow, another San Diego company, Illumina, which cracked the code on genetic sequencing with their machines that cost $10 million apiece. We made a lot of money in Illumina back in the day. It went into the S&P 500 also, as did Realty Income. And then, you know, competition caught up. Like it does in a lot of these things, and Illumina has now been gone from 400 to 100. It's lost 75% of its value because what they did, you know, there's not as much of a need for it. There's other ways of doing it now. There's competition, and this stock is getting hammered. It's down to 104, probably going to get kicked out of the S&P 500 if it's still in it. One of the biggest losers in the market today. And then another big winner from the past, Align Technology, which came up with the Invisalign method, which was a game changer in orthodontics. Great. This was $737 at its peak in 2021. Now it's $180. And there's another one where the competition caught up. They might have saturated, you know, the world with their products, and now this stock is just getting hammered. It's down another 5.4% today. On the upside in the QQQ NASDAQ, Western Digital, Adobe, Amazon's having a good day. The other one that's kind of disturbing for me that's having a bad day is Tesla. Tesla's down 3.3%, and it's challenging that $200 level right now. It did slip underneath $200, and now it's back above it just slightly. You know, Elon Musk, he's always one to be controversial. I saw him announce over the weekend that he's going to provide satellite, what's his internet, Starlink?
Starlink, right.
To the humanitarian agencies in the Gaza Strip. But still, you're kind of saying, hey, Israel, you know, we don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to provide the... So you could look at that a couple of ways. Is he overstepping there? Is he really... can Hamas intercept that signal, you know? You have to have a password. Well, you have to have a login for... Yeah. For a Starlink.
Or so Israel, I mean, Israel could, you know, have jamming technology,
yeah.
Right, which could jam the signal. Who knows?
On the surface, Elon Musk seems to be doing a good thing, but on the other thing, he's interfering in a war being conducted by Israel. So I don't know how that plays over there. And the stock, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but the stock's down almost 4% right now. It's back under 200. So we'll see if... This is kind of a major test for Tesla, this 200 level. Okay, well, there's a lot going on this week. That's why you got to be active. You can't be passive. Not too active. There's a fine medium there between being passive and active. You definitely don't want to just sit on your thumbs and do nothing when interest rates are doing what they're doing and hold on to those bond funds. I mean, they still could have some big vulnerability to the downside. And if when the economy does start to fall apart, we start to head into a recession. You don't want it to sit on your thumbs and do nothing with your stock holdings either. So there's kind of a fine medium in there. If you'd like to talk with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to get last week's newsletter, look at the technical analysis, see what my current analysis of the overall market is. GundersonCapital.com. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.